Howdy. It's Dan. And it's Christmas Eve 2018. And as I look back across the year 2018 and ask myself what it is I'm most thankful for, I think I'm thankful that I have a few people in my life who still care that I'm alive or dead. I think the list is relatively finite at this point, but it's nice to have a few people give a shit. I am thankful I have shelter. If you walk around Little Saigon or Rainier Avenue and you see people, especially families, who are basically living in the streets, if you have shelter, even if it's not permanent, even if it's temporary, that's something to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the food that I have. I don't have very much, but I was able to go down to the food bank for breakfast this morning, and yeah, it was sustenance, and I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for this life, though it is often in these days that I am troubled by what has happened, what I've achieved, where am I going, where have I been? I am convinced that if I was a stronger person, probably a better person, I could embrace this present and the coming future with greater zeal and strength and energy. But I have to say that I don't really embrace it that way. Yes, I am thankful for this life. I pray as often as I can to the Lord in heaven to say that I am thankful. But I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot understand how it is all of this world, this reality, this history, this culture that I find myself trapped in is ever going to go anywhere but further down the road of destruction. If I'm to believe the secular narrative, and there was a secular narrative article on Drudge Report yesterday about people living another 30 years and becoming lobsters. I mean, essentially, lobsters can live, according to biologists, marine biologists, forever. They are able to replace their telomeres. Telomeres are kind of like, for lack of a better description, the stopwatch or clock attached to DNA. And as they are destroyed over the years, the likelihood of replication error, which means cellular division error, increases. So as you get older, your telomeres shorten and you basically grow old, as it should be. You know, we should grow old, right? But the article said that, you know, maybe we can take some DNA from some lobsters and CRISPR it into a person with that wonderful CRISPR technology and have ourselves Lobster Man that can live to be forever old. I don't know if Lobster Man gets to have the claws. I don't know if Lobster Man gets to live underwater, but Lobster Man will be able to shrink his or her Lobster Man or woman. I should say not shrink, but to elongate their telomeres and thereby elongating their lives. If I am to believe this version of reality, this secular version, and frankly, it's a godless version, because in the world of technology and science, and I just couldn't admit it until recently, but I have come to accept the fact that in the world of science and technology, there is no God and there is likely no godliness. There is likely no redemption or grace. It isn't to say that tolls are evil. It isn't to say that it would be better if we just destroyed all of the technology. That's rather stupid. But if we think we're going to be saved by technology, either physically or morally, we should take a look around. I, for one, don't know if the world of technology has been good or bad for me. Like, I've worked as a software engineer, and in that field, I have been able to at times have a reasonably comfortable life. But all of it at a cost. I mean, when I was probably in my peak years, not necessarily in terms of ability, but more in terms of willingness to accept shit for shit, I didn't really see the obvious cost, but it was there. It was in all the fictions I surrounded myself with. And that's kind of a typical behavior these days for human beings, especially us domesticated modern humans. We surround ourselves in layers of fiction, almost like a warm blanket to keep us warm at night. And when I say fiction, I don't mean literature. I don't mean books. Books are great. I mean the lies that we incorporate around our existence that are really kind of toxic, but they allow us to go by day by day. They allow us to survive another day. It's kind of like the lie about voting. If you vote, you're a good person. If you don't vote, you're a bad person. This is ridiculous. There's very little evidence to show in my lifetime that voting does anything. It's rather pathetic, and the entire political process is demeaning to everyone, but especially the voter. The outcomes are usually shitty, and the best case scenario is a zero-sum game. It's a kind of a, I should say gang warfare by other means. That's what democracy is. That's what voting is. It's a way of selecting by proxy someone to enforce rules or laws on others without their consent. And the moral principle is that if the majority decides that some minority should be punished, well, yeah, then that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But actually, that's a really shitty moral principle, and it leads to terrible outcomes. This idea that democracies are inherently good, that, you know, somehow they're better than monarchies, better than other types of government. You know, I love the Churchill quote. It's one of my favorite quotes, that democracy is the worst form of government, excepting all others. But if you actually break that quote down logically, what Churchill is saying is the following: all other forms of government other than democracy are terrible, and so is democracy. What Churchill's really saying is government is shit. That's what he's actually saying. When he says that all forms of government are worse than democracy, as bad as democracy is, he's basically saying that all government is terrible, although he's saying in his own wry kind of British way behind the facade of that bulldog, manic depressive. Oh, I don't know. As Christmas Eves go, I am not even remotely jolly. I couldn't give a shit about bankers losing money on Wall Street. If anything, that's evidence, some evidence that there's a God, you know. But the turmoil and chaos has been here for a while. For people who are trying to get by every single day, there has been a sell-off. A collapse. There has already been a reckoning for these people. For the people who are getting by day, it's already kind of a terrible situation. And can it get worse? Listen, as someone who's a few weeks away from being homeless and whose stomach is grumbling because he doesn't have enough food, yeah, it can always get worse. And I just can't really say if that's good or bad. You know, we as a society, we human beings, not just in the United States, but worldwide, have played fast and loose with principles, with relationships, with life. We have taken a grant, a gift from God, and treated it mostly like shit. We wage war on our neighbors at the drop of a hat. We are constantly in a state of wanting to wage war, so bad that if Trump comes out and says, well, shit, we're going to pull troops out of Syria, you have people, supposedly voices of moral principle in our society, saying, well, that's terrible. How can Trump abandon this war? My question is, how can any soul that seeks to be saved not abandon war? How can you not do that? If you think that Christ believed in war, well, I think Christ understood that sometimes you have to stand up for yourself, and Christ probably understood that there are times when self-defense is justified. I think that these are principles that can be gleaned from the New Testament. But war is not that. War is not self-defense. When you wage war on someone, you are deliberately compelling people to murder strangers. Let me repeat that. When you wage war, you are compelling. You are using compulsion to get one group of humans to kill another. Not only does that violate free will, but it ultimately violates the greatest gift we receive from God, and that's life itself. So I live in a society, the microcosm that is America, where Americans are either blasé and completely oblivious to all the violence that we're causing worldwide, or worse, jump on the war train anytime they get a fucking chance. How many billions are we spending on defense this year? I think it's almost $1 trillion. It's getting there. The first $1 trillion defense budget could happen within a year or two, assuming things don't go kablooey. How much of that, in terms of resources, could be used to help people? For example, the poor people that I see every day. And if your contention is, well, gee, Dan, they're lazy and stupid and they're drug addicts, I would say, gee, scumbag, the bankers that receive banker welfare, the Defense Department contractors that receive military-industrial complex welfare, can I say Raytheon? Can I say Boeing? These are parasites. These are welfare queens. Okay? Yeah, there are poor people in the streets who probably ended up there through their own mistakes. When, I say, dear Lord in heaven, are the rich in their castles going to pay the same fucking price? When will be the day, in the very least, if we're going to be this way, if we're going to say, well, the homeless people are all drug addicts and crazy people, and they made mistakes, ergo flush them down the toilet. Well, can I say that about Lloyd Blankfein or George Soros? Can I say that about Warren Buffett or any of these other motherfuckers who more or less have gamed the system in their own welfare queen kind of way to get ahead? No, I can't, because, you know, in America, we pretend that there are special people, and these special people have special rights and privileges. To say that America is a society without nobility is to lie to oneself and to others. Sure, we don't have nobility or aristocracy the way it once existed, sort of, but already we have these families, like the Clinton family. How the fuck do they have a right to any special political cachet? Why the fuck should anyone write an article about Chelsea Clinton running for any office, let alone the presidency one day? What the fuck is up with that? So yeah, we've developed in the Clintons and the Kennedys and the Bush family, and frankly, the Obama family now too, this kind of landed gentry ruler class for whom the rules do not apply. There's nothing principled about that. So go ahead and beat up on poor people if it makes you feel better. If it makes you feel better when you're driving down the street and you see a homeless person, to mock that person, go ahead. But keep in mind, Raytheon, Boeing, General Dynamics, all of these defense companies steal your money, and when I'm working, my money, at the point of a fucking gun. And then they produce, for wonderful, wonderful, they produce weapons that then they'll go ahead and sell not just to our government, but to our enemies. That's what I'm thinking about on Christmas Eve 2018. I am wondering to myself if any of this is anything more than the natural unfolding of history. If you read your Bible, especially the Old Testament, you'll find that the Jews, the chosen people, throughout their history, have done what all human beings do. They've been given gifts, and then they treated the gifts with disdain, with disrespect. They took the franchise they were given for granted, and then came chastisement. In fact, much of the Old Testament can be described as the Jewish people finding themselves and then losing themselves and then being punished, and rinse and repeat. The cycle continues. Every time God attempts to make an agreement saying, all you have to do is do this, all you have to do is follow these principles, it doesn't take more than a decade or two for the Jews to put up statues to Baal, to worship other gods, to even pray following their escape from Egypt that someone takes them back to Egypt. There are sections of the Old Testament that deal with that as well. The Jews of Israel, only years away from captivity, wanting to go back into captivity because life in the desert is hard. Well, life in the desert is hard. You know, one of the things I pondered, and since this is a ramble, why don't I keep rambling? One of the things I pondered recently is what I can finally give up if I have to go completely homeless. And at this point, I think it is fait accompli, unless something incredibly amazing happens or I figure out a way to find a job. I will be homeless within about 5 weeks. And I gotta say, part of it worries me, but then this other part of me thinks, you know what, this is a challenge. Like, I've shrunk my life down a great deal in recent years. I've, you know, maybe not all of it by choice, but, you know, often we are put in situations and we have to make choices. So, yeah, I have reduced my belongings to a very small amount. And in order to go completely homeless, I would have to reduce my belongings even further. Essentially, what would fit into my duffel bag? You know, one of the few things I have left over from my service in the military. So I've been asking that question, what would I put in the duffel? Well, obviously, I need to put some clothes in there. If I have some plastic bags, I need to put, you know, those in there, probably put clothes in plastic bags. Anything I have that would help, a knife, a lighter, you know, anything that could help me start a fire. Obviously, I'd bring the Bible with me and one or two other books. Maybe the Bible, H.P. Lovecraft, and Nietzsche. As strange as that sounds, it might end up in the duffel bag. But that's the thing to think about, is like, how much of this can you just leave behind? How much of it do you actually need? You know, people need food, they need housing. They don't actually need cars and iPhones and all the other shit, but they need food, they need water, they need housing. These are things humans actually need. The rest is just what you're able to acquire if you've taken care of the former. And what's really funny is that I am still sitting here in a warm room, you know, with running water, with access to the internet. I am still sitting here in a situation where I have much more than people who, you know, are just 200 feet outside my door. People walking up and down the street, somebody I will likely end up as. And yeah, you can say to yourself, well, you're giving up, Dan. No. Giving up takes a different form at this point in my life. Giving up when you're almost 50 years old is a little bit more a little bit more complete. This is more like figuring out how to not give up. Figure out how to get through this. You know, so stick a couple harmonicas, stick my Bible, stick my Nietzsche and my Lovecraft and some clothes in a duffel bag and see how far I can go. That's about it. I'm actually in some ways excited by the opportunity because it is a kind of test. I mean, can I completely get rid of everything and still figure out a way to survive in modernity, in America, in 2019? Because, yeah, it's going to be 2019 pretty soon. And before you accuse me of feeling sorry for myself, which we're all guilty of, I'm actually not. Of all the judges that sit above me, other than God, I am one of the best judges. If you ask me what I think I've accomplished in this life, I don't know. I've done a few things, mostly mediocrity. If I disappear from the planet, it's not like it's going to be that big a deal. And for all the bullshit I've received over the years, for all the false compliments and all the ego pumping, I find that the brutal honesty of knowing that you could reach a point where you are living in the lower part of Maslow's hierarchy, where you are living in the find food, find water, find shelter, I find that intriguing, maybe even exciting, but maybe and probably more fulfilling than most of the corporate software engineering programming bullshit I've been doing. All that's mostly about keeping shit the status quo operating as is. The last project, well, shit, we got to move to the cloud and our special airline employees have this special internal benefit. And for some stupid fucking reason, we have a whole parallel website and parallel architecture just for an internal benefit so people can get free airline tickets who work for our company. That's essentially was my last project. How morally redeeming is that bullshit? So what? A bunch of union fucks? A bunch of fucking Seattle douchebags can get their free airline ticket? No, I would say that on the list of great software engineering challenges that have positive impact, that one doesn't rank very fucking high. And before that, oh, Universal Store Project at Microsoft. Yeah, that was really great. Let's make sure Microsoft makes a few more bucks. Or what about the company that made loan origination software? With the Robo Screen editor. You know, the special screen where you can decide how ninja you want to get with the ninja loan, no job, no income, no nothing. How much of a predator do you want to be as a loan officer? Well, this software delivered. I could keep fucking going. In my 15 years as a software engineer, there was maybe 4 or 5 years where I felt like I was doing creative work. And even then, when I was doing creative work, it was in an industry that disgusted me. Healthcare finance, are you fucking kidding me? Talk about seeing the sausage made. So yeah, revenue cycle, writing rules engines, writing bill repricers, which frankly can be challenging only because the system is that fucked up. So no, I don't really look back upon all this and say to myself, holy shit, what a great life, what a legacy. There's no legacy there. There are no kids, there's no family, there's no nothing. And this isn't so much feeling sorry for myself as the brutal recognition of facts. You know, there's a lot of pain out there. My pain is not that fucking special, neither is yours. There's a lot of sadness out there. My sadness is not that fucking special, neither is yours. There is a lot of anger out there. My anger, as furious as it is at times, it's not that fucking special, neither is yours. And my life, you know, which is a gift from God, and I thank the Lord for it, my life, like any other life, and certainly the lives that are described in the Bible, is what it is. I do this work, I am in this life to try to be happy, to try to be a good person, to try to be a good Christian. But I will die, so will you. I don't care if you get the lobster DNA code or not. You will die. All of the secular rhetoric aside, everything, everyone you know, will die. That's normal, that's natural. That's what we're supposed to think about the world. Not live in little ridiculous fantasies that we're all going to be young forever, we're all going to be successful and rich and happy and have everything we want. That's bullshit. And really, the percentage of people that achieve something like that, I don't know what the percentage is, because for me personally, I would have to achieve comfort without screwing over my neighbor. And doing that in America today, achieving some economic advantage without fucking over your neighbor, without fucking over people just down the street, I would say is damn near impossible. Healthcare, banking, excuse me, the military-industrial complex, these are major employers for IT. If I want to work as a software engineer, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be for some industry, some corporation that makes money off of fucking somebody. So no, my anger is not special. My reality is not special, neither is yours. And the maelstrom that is going to come, and I don't know if it's arriving or not, because I do not have that ability to see. For years, I've felt as if the future was going to be a bit more dark than everyone prognosticated, but that doesn't mean I know when the dark clouds arrive. I was convinced a few years ago that it was a few weeks away, to the point that I basically left a good job and, you know, lived off a credit card for about 6 months, believing that all of this was just going to basically fall apart. Now, I could still end up being right in one sense, but wrong in another. I could end up being right that that is what is going to happen eventually, as all things do fall apart, but it doesn't mean I'll live to see it. I don't know how much juice the system has. I don't know how many more times the Federal Reserve can go to quantitative easing. Maybe they can keep doing it. I don't know. I don't know how much of this is a psyop. For example, if I may ramble randomly, this whole thing about Treasury Secretary Mnuchin telegraphing to people on Sunday that he had spoken to some, you know, C-suite corporate leaders in the banking industry, and he was going to have a call or a meeting with a plunge protection team. Everyone is saying, well, gee, that's what's causing the problem with the markets. But what if that's also just another fucking psyop? What if Trump is a giant manufactured it? Not a real thing, not a real person. I mean, I'm not saying he's not actually a real person. Like, if you met him like any other actor when he's out of character, he probably is a real person. He might even be a fun person. But he is playing a role. Just like Hillary did, just like Obama, just like Bush. These are play actors. And I have no fucking clue who tells them what to do. It's even doubtful that it's one person. It would be far more likely and more fitting with the demonic nature, the diabolical nature of America today, that it would be 100 voices of evil, 1,000 demons whispering into his ears, telling him what to do, who he needs to be. This is, in my view, a fallen society. And that's looking at it from a secular perspective. Like, if all you did is say to yourself, I'm going to ignore religion and God and ask myself, what is redeemably important about America? Well, once upon a time, it was human liberty. You know, it was live free or die. You know, land of the free, home of the brave. That was the idea. We believed in liberty, even if it meant that we wouldn't have all the protections we needed, that our lives might be at risk. We preferred liberty and dignity over security because we knew security was a fucking lie. Well, guess what, America? And this is just one person speaking from my perspective. We have neither. We have neither liberty nor security. We are slaves. You are probably a slave. You probably don't know it, and you might even do pretty well in the slave hierarchy, but you're a slave. Your liberty, your dignity are not priorities to the system. They might not even be fucking priorities to you, at least not yet. Like so many things in theater and life, timing is critical, okay? Whatever this is, this period of history we're living through, whether it is a secular thing that you can look at from that perspective, and one of my favorite authors, writers, who looks at it from a secular perspective is James Howard Kunstler, or you can look at it from a religious perspective and say, you know what, there's a lot of strange signs in the sky, so to speak. A lot of strange signs, a lot of wars and rumors of wars. A lot of the stuff that prophets have told us would be coming, would reveal itself. So yeah, you can pick and choose. You can be the secular, the religious, but if you're going to be rational, you have to admit to yourself there's something seriously wrong, okay? Not just in terms of where we're coming from, but where we're going to. Supposedly, we were supposed to be a free country. Like when I swore the oath to be in the military, supposedly, we were a free country. That is not true any longer. It's not to say that people aren't acting up. It's not to say, for example, the people of New Jersey are not saying, yeah, I know you passed a law to make us turn in our high-capacity magazines. Guess what? We're not doing it. God bless them. I applaud them, okay? Standing up for your dignity means standing up for a gift that God gave you. Freedom and dignity, these are not gifts of a government. These are gifts from the Lord, but in the very least, they're yours. Whether they come from God or nature, they are yours. So I applaud the gun owners of New Jersey telling the government to fuck itself. I have to say that's a heartwarming Christmas Eve story. If you haven't read about that, there's a lot of people who are defying the deadline to turn in their evil guns and evil magazines, you know, high capacity magazines and other kinds of bullshit. So yeah, this has been a bit of a ramble. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I wish I could tell you that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but like my previous podcast, I'm fairly convinced it's just a light that points in a different direction down another tunnel. I don't think there is. I don't think there's a way to avoid a reckoning. A reckoning will always happen if it's required, and we are facing a reckoning. And that reckoning is going to be bad. If, for example, and I'm just using this as an example, we were not simply lied to on 9/11, but actually a fair number of Americans have kind of accepted unconsciously, internally, that we were lied to and have kind of said to themselves for the last, I don't know, 17 years that whatever, we don't give a fuck. Okay, it's our stuff, it's our life. If we have to set a few homes on fire with white phosphorus, we don't give a fuck about the babies, about the kids, about the families being burnt alive. I'm telling you right now, if 9/11 was bullshit, that by itself justifies a chastisement. In fact, the most elegant proof of God is going to happen. The one thing I am certain is going to happen in my lifetime, assuming I live another 10 years. The most elegant proof of God is the reckoning that is going to befall us. We have murdered millions of people, likely, and this is just the last, you know, 17 years. This doesn't include all the other bullshit wars. But in the last 17 years, we have murdered millions of people, likely for a lie, likely for a bunch of fucking oil companies, for a bunch of fucking bankers, for the state of Israel. If that's true, if the actual reasons, causes, and outcomes of 9/11 are not as advertised, and there is a God, which I believe there is, we are seriously fucked. You don't get to do this. Read your fucking Bible. You do not get to set the world on fire. This is not the book of Judges. This is not the time just after Moses and Joshua bring people out of the wilderness, okay? We're not going to get cut the slack of, excuse me, 2,500 years BC. We're not. We had a New Testament. We had a new agreement. But like the Bible, and my God, the Bible is so brilliant in this sense, every fucking time the people of God have been given an opportunity, given a gift, they basically said, fuck you. It's almost as if Revelations writes itself. Okay? It's not to say that some won't be saved. Revelations basically says that. But most are not going to be saved. Kind of like the wailing, ranting assholes in the wilderness telling Joshua and Moses that, well, gee, or I should say Aaron, telling them, well, gee, can't we go back to fucking Pharaoh? Wouldn't it be great if, you know, it's been so hard in the desert with our freedom. Can't we just go back to fucking Pharaoh? Go back to Egypt? Now, times have not changed that much, folks. We are living in a fallen society. We are living in a society worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, worse than ancient Rome. Ancient Rome couldn't have dreamed of the imperial control we've achieved. And still, if you were to listen to all the neocon bullshit artists, still intend to achieve. So yeah, that's what I'll leave you with on this Christmas Eve. If you believe in God, and if you recognize that the United States may have, there's no 100% solid evidence yet, but I suppose this is true. I think it is true. That we may have waged a false war, that we may have on 9/11 created an event, our government created an event to wage illegal wars. If that's true, and there's a God, we're all going to get punished for this. We all paid our taxes, buddy. Okay, you can't come back and say, well, I didn't vote for Bush. Fuck you. voting is not just about who you vote for. It is a religious practice. It is very much a religious worship of the devil, okay? Of Satan, of Baal. When you go to vote, I don't care if your person wins or loses. You're basically saying that this institution, this structure, has a right to defy the free will of another human being. That's essentially what you're fucking voting for. So yeah, guess what? If your person didn't win, but you still filled out that ballot, if your person didn't win, but you still paid your fucking taxes, if that person didn't win, but you still did everything you could to be in the system and just sort of keep things going, because that's the positive attitude, yeah, you're gonna suffer too. As will I. I mean, that to me is the thing I'd leave you with. I'm not getting out of this thing alive. And that's putting it mildly. I'm not getting out of this thing without punishment. I spent most of my adult life claiming there was no God. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, if anything, the minor struggles I face, and these are minor struggles, like not having enough food in your cupboard. Yeah, that sucks, but I'm overweight. I could probably go a couple weeks before I would even get close to starving to death. No, I haven't even remotely seen the struggles and the pain I could see, as most Americans haven't either, really, not yet. But it's coming. It's just over the horizon, and if you believe, for all of our sins, that what we're looking at is a miracle in the future and not a chastisement, my God, keep reading. I don't know if it's Mark Taylor or those other douches who treat Trump as some sort of a God-chosen leader. Listen, you can read whatever stupid-ass fucking people you want to read. We, most of us, are not getting out of this unscathed. This includes a lot of preachers. Read your fucking Jeremiah. This includes a lot of people in the public square who claim to be moral voices. They will likely get set on fire first. Once again, Merry fucking Christmas.